We're going to do what we've been doing. Again, just getting used to things. All right. Where at? You. Right away is you. And I love when I'm doing jurisdictions. Now, the you is where I was going, but as soon as I said, I went, uh-oh. Look what we've got to put that word in. Why? Somebody tell me. It's a parameter. Of what kind of parameter? Conditional, yeah. It's a if you know if that wasn't there, therefore you present. You understand? It's no longer conditional. But the word if makes the parameter, the border, the jurisdiction conditional. Okay? Very extremely important words. If. And so, you know, it's funny in chapter 6, when you pray, when you fast, when you give. Hear the difference? Okay? This one is if. You are presenting. Come on, wake up.
At.
Yeah. Well, at. Yeah, no, that's actually it is, isn't it? At. That's important. Why? It's where you're doing it. Look what he just did. Tell what was just said there. Somebody tell me.
There's one altar.
Okay, there's one altar. What at the altar? What else? That's good.
You can't present it somewhere else.
You can't present it somewhere else. What else?
It's while you're presenting your offering.
Yeah, it's while you're presenting it. And where? What he did in that phrase was reiterate to us in the New Testament the continuance of the sacrificial system. In one phrase. Boom. At the altar. Wow. Now, we, of course, have different maybe ways of that altar, because that altar, that the altar is not there anymore. But this kind of stuff, just I'm telling you, I know you may not get as excited as I do, but I really do. Okay, and there, that's where you are. There, remember.
Your?
Yeah. Not somebody else's.
Has is now.
Oh, I'm sorry. What?
Has means now.
Yeah, that's right. Has means when. Yeah, time.
You?
Yeah.
Brother is family, which is a specific jurisdiction.
Yeah, leave your offering there. Before the altar, yeah. Before the altar. Go. Og? All right, you people want to make fun of me, y'all get up here and cut this thing. Okay, next. First. Good, 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 good. First. Okay, a little overexcitement there. First, you be reconciled to, again, your brother. And then you come and present your offer. This, folks, this stuff is not flippant. When I look at the word, my assumption is, especially if we've got Jesus talking, that it really means the way that he said it. And I can't tell you how many things through the years in my life or our lives as we're counseling and stuff, that some little nuance, and you hear Miss Davis do this all the time, she's, boy, the Lord just, she'll, oh, this little word, did you see that? I'm going, yeah, I saw it. Why? Now, I was going to think of that, but, she'll see that one little twist, that one little word that changes the jurisdiction of everything going on. And it will give you wisdom if you are meditating in this way. And, of course, you can go back and do this with the stuff that we gave you. But anyway, this is important. Go on. Where are we at?
Make friends.
Make friends. Okay. And then we've got the time. Quickly. Where?
With
your. Okay, with. Your, not somebody else's opponent. That your thing is terribly important. We talked about it the other day. Who will abide on the holy hill? Not someone that picks up a reproach against somebody else, that takes up an offense against somebody else. Your opponent. But what kind of opponent? At law. Let me ask you a question. Who's your opponent at law?
Satan.
Who?
Satan
is one. Well, wait a second. I'm supposed to agree with him? Come on.
Am I an opponent at law? Am I my own opponent at law?
No, no, Satan. Satan. If Satan is your opponent at law, and it sounds logical to me, that's one of them at least.
All those who are outside of Christ.
Okay, what are you saying there? I don't.
Like if it is.
Oh, okay, I see. They oppose the law. Yeah, that's good too. Yeah, that's good.
Because he's the one that set up the law, and you're the one breaking it.
Okay, yeah.
If it's at law, then he's within the law.
What now?
If it's at law, then he's within the law.
Yeah. Satan, if you have violated the law, where have you gone? Good. Do you see? You have stepped outside of God's jurisdiction out into, and if he comes, remember, he's the accuser of the brethren. But he's fallen down. All right? So he's not up there accusing you before God anymore. It's not worth the trouble. Can't get through Jesus' blood. What am I going to do? I've got an idea. I could go and start accusing them personally. Okay? But what if he's right? Okay, Satan, thank you. You're right. Oh, but you probably forgot. Oh, you're not going to go there. Yeah, never mind. I am in Christ. Remind, if you've done wrong, you agree with your opponent at law. But you've got to understand something, though. What's interesting is Satan comes up and he goes, violate the law. And now you're underneath his. You wouldn't think that you are his opponent. But wait a second, I'm agreeing with you. But he's opposing you. Because of it's darkness out here. His law is hatred, not love. Now, but the unfortunate thing now, God has opposed you. You have opposed God, okay? And you need to agree with law. If you don't know what law is, you won't agree with it. And if you're not meditating on it, you won't agree with it. Okay.
It's changing your mind.
Yes, yes, yes. That's exactly it. Yeah. Yeah, you're repenting. If he comes, Satan, God will use Satan. Okay, he's his pawn. He's not his equal opposite. While you were on the way with him. Okay? While you are on the way. Now that's daily life. Daily life. But this is also, and of course, I don't think God wants us to necessarily make friends with Satan. But what was I trying to say? Anyway, while you're on the way. All right, let's go on. Where else?
The way is a specific jurisdiction.
Okay, the way.
While would also be because it's time.
Okay.
With him? Would that be a jurisdiction?
With him is certainly a place. Now, it's going to be a subtle one right here, and that's the word so. Why is so that? Let's take that. Why is so that a jurisdiction?
He's saying in order that your opponent may not hand you over.
Yeah, in order that, so that, the words so that are a judgment. Do you see it? So that. It's a judgment. It's the way things work. That's a very important. What did you just do? What just happened to your wee little brains? You're suddenly thinking outside the box of, okay, just a person. And before this, you may have not thought in terms of person. You may not have thought in terms of time. But all this is happening now. I can't get very far because y'all are messing me up. We have to stop. No, there's another one. There's another one. There's another one, which is exactly what's supposed to happen. But now there's a different one. So that is a, this one is really big because it is an actual judgment. You understand? Everybody with me there? So that. Okay. Yep. Your opponent. You be you. Oh. What now?
To the judge.
Well, now you're getting it. Uh-oh, we wound up in. And I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say the may not hand. That's jurisdiction too, because he doesn't have the jurisdiction.
That's a judgment. Your opponent may not hand you, okay, but he's gonna hand you to judgment. Look what's going on. The opponent to the judge, and the judge to the officer. You see the jurisdiction changing? And then the jurisdiction changes again. Fascinating stuff. It really is. But you see, again, what were we looking at? Deduction. Small, got smaller and smaller down to the prison cell. Okay. Okay.
Truly is one.
Yep. Yeah. Within truth. Okay. Truth versus non-truth. Okay. I say to you, this is important.
You will is a promise.
Yeah. You, what's going on here is that the you is repeated. We could, no. You will. It's a promise. Now, within that promise of truth is a jurisdiction. This is a certain happening. You will not come. What? Out of there. Yeah. Out of there. That doesn't sound like too good a thing. Let's stop and talk about forgiveness. Until. There's time. Until. So what do you need to do? Think about it. Forgive. Doesn't matter who it is, what it is, you have to release them. Oh, but they hurt me deeply. You have to release. If you do not release, where are you at? Until. Nobody else doing it. Isn't it interesting? Jesus offers us forgiveness for our sins. I want you to think. But there's at least one sin that we know he really kind of gets upset about. And it's conditional. What is the conditional? What sin is conditional?
Saying that the works of the Holy Spirit are the works of the
enemy. Yeah, but it's very specific. It's conditional for your forgiveness. If we forgive. If you do not forgive, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. Jurisdiction. We must release. What's going on when I do not forgive? Come on.
I'm binding that person.
What?
I'm binding that
person. I'm binding that person. Okay, what?
Making a judgment.
You're making a judgment. What are you doing?
Going to Satan's dominion.
Going to Satan's dominion. Going also into God's.
Transgressing.
You are assuming a jurisdiction you don't have. That is why it is so serious. You are assuming a jurisdiction you do not have when you refuse to forgive. And Jesus thinks that that's not real good. Wow. You have paid up the last cent. Okay? You
have
Have his time.
Heard is someone giving I just blank.
Giving what?
Could be judgment or jurisdiction.
Okay, could be. All right.
Your ears are your jurisdiction.
Uh-huh.
Was.
Was? Time? Was said. Was said. You. Now, a specific judgment. Shall not. You shall not commit adultery. Okay? Hey, you. Come on.
Everyone.
Everyone.
Looks.
Those that look. With lust for her. Has already. Got it? Has already done what?
Committed violation of jurisdiction.
Yeah, committed a violation. A jurisdiction violation. Come on.
With her.
With her.
In his heart.
In his heart. Look at that. That this, we talked about this before. We're going to talk about it some more too. This is speaking in two different directions. And if you don't catch it, I think you are, you probably have, just looking at the jurisdictional speaking we're having here. Well, you rotten old guy, what are you doing looking? But the word is with her. Men are very capable of defrauding. Women are very capable of defrauding. The with her and in the heart is a meditation. And the defrauding may be coming from the woman in the way that she dresses, the way that she's acting, the way, but the man, the way that he talks, the way that he's showing off, or whatever. It's still adultery. You are going, adultery is because that woman belongs to someone else. Well, what if they're not married? They belong to God. You have violated that jurisdiction. And in his heart, boy, I tell you, that's saying a lot right there. All right. Next. F.
Your.
Right.
It's really true. Remember we talked about that the other day, ocular dexterous, ocular sinister. Your right eye makes you. Do you, how many of you really believe that your right eye is making you do anything? Makes you stumble. It wasn't me. It was that eye you gave me, God. Well, I've got good news for you. Tear it out and quit blaming me. Yeah, I'm listening.
Well, you probably got some teaching on this somewhere.
Oh.
Is the right eye talking about like your powers of perception and comprehending your world?
You know, I've not gone into that actually in great depth. I've simply taken it the way the ancients and even here today we do. The right hand is the vast majority, and always thought of as the weapon hand and the right eye. If you are, do we have any southpaws in here? We have left-handers? Okay. And it's always difficult to get an instrument or a gun. I mean, who was it?
The safeties are all, and the magazine releases are all on the wrong side.
Wrong side. And when I was in high school, somebody had an automatic 22, and this fellow said, hey, let me borrow it. He was left-handed. And he shot. Well, guess what happened? Right in his eye. I mean, the shell went wham, you know. And, he thought he'd been shot. I mean, he didn't know what had happened. But it came out on the wrong side. Not built for, because the majority is, we're right-handed. And we're right-eyed. We are right-eyed, too. It's that side of the brain. I don't know. I know what you're saying, but I've never studied the right brain, left brain side of things. Yeah. Is that what you're asking, that side of it? Right. Yes. Well, It sounds like a good sermon to me. Okay, three. You're preaching on this. Where is it? Here we go. The lamp of the body is the eye. Now, it doesn't take a big leap of faith to go, when he's talking about the eye here, and we've talked about it so many times here, that's the belief system, your worldview. And the right eye, being for most, being the dominant, I would think that that's saying what is the dominating view that you have in your own life. So, I would think what you're saying, perception. What's your perception? You're taking it again through your worldview, which is your perception. Okay, but I don't have any teaching on this except we could go through M&Ms real quick since we've gotten to this verse, so, but I won't. Ms. Davis, do you have anything to add on any of this? No, but...
If you're single.
Yeah.
And then still meditation. Your hand will do what you meditated on.
That's right.
It's not going to go there without it. It's the single eye. One focus. And that has to be a right focus.
Yeah. And I hadn't thought about this until you were saying it. Following. Your hand doesn't go anywhere until your eye has guided it. But let's think in terms of playing a musical instrument. When this hand, many, many years ago, when it came up to a guitar, those fingers had no idea what to do. And you have to sit there, I had to... How to make that work. Now I don't think about it. So how did you do that? I don't know. What was that lick? And what's happened? And this is really actually important in terms of where did it start? It started with your eye. But what was the final outcome? A habit. Okay? It started with the perception, it started with the meditation, it started with the receiving of whatever that was, but it eventually went to habit. And you never think about it. You watch those, it blows my mind to see somebody really play the banjo. I sit there, that's ridiculous. Or the piano, or the violin. They never even think about it. Itzhak Perlman looks like he's part of this. He's a big guy from here up. No legs, but here up, he's big. And he wraps himself around, and he just becomes, never thinks about it. That's not right. That's just not right. In the same way, our lives. We perceive something, we look on it, we lust for it, and then it becomes a habit that you never even think about what your hand did and what you're doing. You just simply go. Thank you, Ms. Davis. All right. Makes you stumble. From you? Everybody awake? I can tell you are.
Is?
Four. Yeah. Why? It's because. It's one of those judgment things again. Because it is better for, sorry?
For you.
Yeah, for you to lose what?
One.
One. Of the parts.
Of your body.
Ah. Of your body. You want God to punish everybody else. Okay. Then for your whole body to be thrown into your hand. If, come on.
Your
right hand
means
you stumble.
Cut it off.
Good.
Gross.
Tearing the eye open, man. Now, you ever wonder about this? What if you're not a good left-handed cat person? You're supposed to throw your arm. Yeah. The odd things that come across when you're meditating on Scripture. Throw it from you. Okay? But it's interesting. The throw from you. And I want you to stop. And again, this is meditation. Throwing from you. That is... Think of that in terms of an emotional response that God is wanting you to have towards your sin. Throw it from you. Sorry?
You're not accepting it?
Yeah, you refuse it. Conditional?
Better?
Judgment? You see the judgment? Best, better, good? Good, best, good, better, best? Four. You... Lose what? One of the parts?
Lose is like being removed from its proper jurisdiction.
Okay. It left its jurisdiction. Good.
Dr. D.
I'm listening.
What does numbers have to do with jurisdiction? Like one and two and all that?
Well,
why are we breaking it up there?
It's like time. In other words, it's not just one hand or one eye or one committing adultery or whatever. Maybe it's more than one. One is a jurisdiction. Numbers. We don't have to break it up there. If you want us, we can undo it. We don't want to cause offense. It's honestly, it's kind of close to say that, but this is just an exercise for all of us. And it's not so much the one as the one of the parts is what we're really looking at. One of the parts of your body. Okay?
Numbers helping define the jurisdiction.
That's right. The numbers help define the jurisdiction. How big the jurisdiction is. We have 110 acres here. Okay, not 1 acre. Your body?
Man.
Judgment? Another judgment? Okay. Okay, it was. We've got one that's kind of odd. Understood. Those they people. You ever know they said this, they said that? Who said it? Well, they said it. It was said. Okay? Whoever. Very specific. What now? Whoever sends his wife away. Okay? Let him give her, what a nice gift. A certificate of divorce. Well, yeah. What type of certificate of divorce?
Wouldn't away be a jurisdiction?
Yep. Different place.
Yeah.
and also says, or is was said together, or would was be separate?
I don't know.
Because was is time, and said is judgment.
Yeah, but the was is time. Said could be judgment, I guess. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way. That's good. That's good. This is the way that it works. We look at things differently. Okay.
I.
Yeah. Now, right there is one you need to wake up for. I. It's Jesus saying to me. All right? To me. That's important in meditation. Jesus is saying something to me here. Okay?
Everyone.
Is the word like but or however or on the other hand, is that kind of like describing a different jurisdiction or it's making a distinction from one
distinction.
To another?
Yeah, so you've gone from one thing to another. Here's what this judgment says, different judgment. And you notice what kind of different judgment we have. Hey, if you divorce your wife, listen, you give her a piece of paper. Everybody got it? But Jesus comes up and says, but I'm taking jurisdiction over that, and I'm going to tell you something that works differently than that. Everybody got it? And that's right. That's what's going on. But everyone. Now, it's very specific. Everyone who divorces his wife. Ooh. Except. The judgment is what? The reason of him casting. Her commit adultery.
Whoever marries.
Yeah. Marries.
Divorced.
Commits.
Commits adultery. You see, the jurisdiction, what's going on? The Lord is concerned about that violation of jurisdiction. There was a jurisdiction that was violated. His concern, though, and we don't have time to do this one today, but we are going to, is not over the, I don't believe, I don't believe it.
I'm borne out biblically. We're going to talk about this in depth. We've talked about it some. But the is not just the legal divorcement. I think that is about as shallow as you can possibly get in this. Because you look in Scripture and God is talking about, and you know Jesus is even more concerned about it. Why? Where did he start with, look, back up, where have we gone? What have we done? Turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to go over what we just went through. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to do a little quick outlining in large chunks. Outlining in large chunks. Start with verse 17. Jesus is appealing and letting us know, forget this getting rid of the law and the prophets. I didn't come to do away with the thing. I came and I'm going to fulfill it all up. Where it used to be skinny, it's going to be pretty plump now. And where the bar used to be a couple of feet, it's going to be now light years away. Until heaven and earth pass away, we see him saying, your righteousness. So he's talking about, in that section right there, law, prophets, righteousness. Next section. You have heard, the ancients were told. Hey, don't be, no murder. But he says, no anger. I want you to listen to what we're going through right now. No anger. No using your mouth. Verse 23. If, therefore, you are presenting your offering before the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering before the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly. What are we talking about? Opponent. Opponent at law. We are talking about here presenting that, oh, I'm coming before God. Hey, here I am, bringing the good stuff. I'm not concerned about that. The altar thing is not what this is about. Here's your life here. Are you just coming up and bringing stuff? Here's the smoke screen. You know, some poor animal gave his life for you to be a smoke screen, or for a smoke screen. No. 27. You shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, what are you doing? Where is your meditation? Better for you one of the parts of your body perish. Verse 31. Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of dismissal. No problem. But I say to you, everyone who divorces his wife gives her a certificate. Everyone who gives her a get, as they call it in the Yiddish, if I remember correctly, gives her a get, except for the cause of unchastity, makes her commit adultery. Whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. You shall not make false vows, but you shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. I say you make no oath whatsoever. Let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond this is evil. Okay. Go on. 39. Do not resist him as evil. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Whoever forces you to go with one mile, go with him too. You shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy, and say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. If you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Now, did you hear the outline? The law. The law and the prophets. Righteousness. Murder. Anger. Going to court. Adultery. Meditation on that. Divorce. Vows, offering before the altar. Turn to Malachi chapter 2. Just 400 years before you, and a few pages. Chapter 2, verse 13. And this is another thing. No. Let's go up to start with verse 10. Do we not all have one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do you deal treacherously against your brother so as to profane the covenant of our fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously. Abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, married the daughter of a foreign god. As for the man who does this, may the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob everyone who answers or awakes and answers and who presents an offering to the Lord of hosts, his offering. This is another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears. But I say to you, and when you present your offering before the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you. Listen to what's going on. He's talking about before the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with the favor of your hand. You're bringing the offering, but he says, but I say to you, yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth. The definition of divorce, before we go any further, everybody please, this is not biblical. This is how we have defined divorce. And you could call it, yeah, that is divorce. Divorce is when a man and a woman that have been legally put together by signing a marriage contract annul that contract. What I just said to you is not biblical. Now, it may be what people do, but it is not the biblical definition of divorce, and it doesn't come anywhere near that. The word that we will translate as divorce is not that word. Because, again, we are thousands. Malachi was written over 2,000 years ago. Over 2,000 years ago, about 2,500 years ago. A completely different century, a completely different continent, a completely different country, a completely different culture. And when they said divorce, that's not what I just said is not what they meant. And it's not what God is talking about. The NAS translates the word as divorce in Malachi, and it's not. The King James gets it right. Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, although she has been your companion and your wife by covenant. Parentheses. But not one has done so who has remnant of the Spirit. Parentheses close. And what did you do while he was seeking God the offspring? Parentheses close. Take heed then to your spirit. Let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. For I hate, and the NAS says divorce. What does King James say? Putting away. I hate the sending away, says Yahweh, the God of Israel, and him who covers his garment with wrong. So take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. Cover his garment with wrong. The word wrong there is, Mrs. Davis, violence. I don't know if you're hearing something, folks. We are hearing law, prophets, taking your offering before the altar. We are hearing anger. We are hearing the slapping of cheeks. We are hearing abandonment. And nothing about what our society calls divorce. Well, they're divorced means nothing. I don't mean to be terrible. That's it. We're out of here. I am not advocating it. I am saying our definition of it has missed it by light years. What's going on in real godly divorce has nothing to do with, he gave her a certificate of getting away, or we went to court. No, what God is concerned about is don't come here to me with your this altar when you're doing this and when you are specifically doing it to your covenant partner. And when you're being violent. Folks, by the time they get to the courthouse and the fundamentalists are all passing out, oh no, they're getting divorced. That divorce happened long, 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 long ago. Listen to the judgment. Listen to the jurisdiction. Listen to what he's saying. Malachi is saying these things, and Jesus goes, first sermon. I think I'll start with the book of Malachi. You didn't get it when he said it before. Isn't it interesting that Malachi says, John the Baptist is going to show up? Malachi is the one that tells us that. Elijah. Elijah shows up, and they're going, who are you? How dense do you have to be? Now we're going to start working backwards. Okay, Jesus comes over and starts talking about Malachi. Jumps back exactly where God left off. Message hadn't changed. You've heard that it was said, but I'm telling you, this is what I'm telling you. Do you notice that there's not a lot of difference what Jesus is saying than what Malachi was saying? You've heard the ancients were told, now you need to, don't be too bad here, don't commit murder. No. You've heard the ancients were told, now, when you swear, this is the way you do it, okay? By the altar, by the temple. What does Jesus say? You're supposed to be people of your word. Are you hearing what went on here? And I'm telling you, folks, when you get, they're getting divorced. That happened long ago. It's just like with the rebel. The rebel has already left the house. When by the time you get to this point, and how often do we see this pattern that Jesus just went through of violence, of abandonment, especially from the men, sorry, but it's true, from of violence, of abandonment, of refusal to walk in the ways of the Lord, of willingness to abandon covenant partners, to hurt them purposely. No, folks, legal divorce, I'm going to be really blunt here. The legal divorcement, I don't think God cares about one bit that we do in our country. I don't think what he's concerned about, it doesn't say that. He's concerned about everything that built up to that point. How many of you, I'll ask you a question. How many of you have ever known a family where the man was violent? Anybody ever known the man was violent? And you're sitting there going, man, that woman needs to get out of there. She needs to get out of there. She's going to get killed. And we see it all the time. Cops. The number one place they're going to get shot and killed, where? Domestic disturbance. They hate it. Oh, no. Last one I heard about getting killed was a few years ago. I mean, they've a lot been killed, but I don't keep up with the news anymore. Guy stepped up to the door. Stepped up. He didn't have his vest on. Shotgun came through the door. Boom. Constable, just trying to calm people down. The violence that goes on inside these things is what God is concerned about. And then the hypocrisy of coming to church and coming and saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now, the divorce happened long before we got around to the silly little shallow thing of, okay, we're going to start dividing property and dividing children. Oh, that's violent when it comes down to the children. But property, big deal. Do you understand what I'm saying, folks? We have made it against the law in Christendom for a battered woman to get legal help. We have. Now, I mean that, and I'm saying it to our shame. I mean that, and I'm saying it to our shame. Jesus talked about the unrighteous judge. And what happened? The woman came. I need help. I want help from these that are persecuting me. I need help. And the judge eventually did it. Jesus used that type of imagery fairly often. His major concern, though, is with the heart. But in using that imagery, he is in no way is he saying, oh, and you can't get legal protection against your or from your opponent. He never said anything like that. And by the time we get to a quote unquote legal divorce, what is often happening is one party, maybe both, one party is usually saying, I need protection. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And in no way am I advocating divorce. No, Mrs. Davis and I are those that don't counsel people for divorce, anything along those lines. On the other hand, I don't believe we have defined divorce biblically. And I don't think we've looked at where the major problem is, which is not in, oh, they went before a court of law and did away with the contract. I mean, God wants you to keep your word, but I think almost from heaven you might hear, big deal. That's nothing compared to what I'm really talking about in my word. You understand what I'm saying? This is where we've gone wrong. This is where husbands go wrong. I wish everyone would have been in here at the last men's conference when I taught that. Nobody could move. The men were just stunned. One of them said, that was worth the trip down here. I did 20 minutes. In fact, what I just did, 20 minutes. One of them said, that was worth the trip down here. And he was a good fundamentalist. But he'd heard truth. Oh, wow! It doesn't have anything to do with the thing that we've been saying is such a horrible deal. Where the real problem has been, right there. I'm not talking about the microphone either. Okay? Miss Davis, anything to add on that? Do you understand, folks? I don't care if you agree. I care for you to understand. Any questions or comments on that? Will we stop? So
Sir?
The point of it is appearance. I mean, the church can say, okay, if it's in the heart, if it's just going out at home, okay, we can hide that. We can throw it under the rug. We don't have to admit it's a problem. But all of a sudden, the legal part of it comes out. Okay, then everybody knows. Then it's a problem because
yeah.
we have to admit it's a problem. We have to deal with it and actually admit that something is wrong.
Yeah.
And
we don't like that. No, not in the church.
Unbelievable. I mean, what happens? What happens when the song leader runs off with the organist? What happens? What?
Nothing. No,
something happens. Weldon, everybody look back at Weldon. Weldon's going to help us here. I want you to reach down, and that piece of carpet that's closest to you, pick it up. There. Very good. Now go and put it back down again. Good. There it is. You swept it under the rug. I've watched it. Not a word said. Not a thing said, but all of a sudden it becomes, oh, wow, well, we're good here at this church. And they never say a thing instead of following what biblically should be going on. And it stays hidden. The real crime has been committed long, long, long before. It gets to a point that somebody's simply begging, he's going to kill me. I'm telling you, he's going to. He's been beating me up for years. He's been bashing me with his tongue for years. You're no good. You can't think. You're stupid. On and on and on. I'm not in any way picking just on the guy here. But what God is concerned about is our dedication to him, our dedication to one another in the heart, not a silly legal document. Now, that comes under oaths, don't get me wrong. But We've gotten to a point, well, we don't want to give her any, we've watched it. She won't get legal protection. Why? Because she doesn't want to be condemned by the church. Sad. Sad. And unbiblical, I might add very loudly. Unbiblical. Anyone else? Father, amen and amen to your word. May we be those that keep short accounts with you, that when we bring our offering, whether it be praise, prayer, song, meditation, before the altar, we do not come with, and my brother has something against me, if we are able to clear it.